Roy Matlick Jr. here, and today's show we're talking about planning for a very confident retirement, all the things that go into it. And if you need help when it comes to retirement planning and you would like an analysis, a real analysis where we look at everything, go to RoyMatlickJr.com or call 615-843-2999. Right now, my organization, we've got about 40,000 clients right now. So we've been doing this for a long, long time, and we can help you. And so if you'd like help, visit RoyMatlickJr.com or call 615-843-2999. As we came out of the break, four key building blocks of a confident retirement. First one is, are your living essentials covered? The next one is lifestyle issues, such as do we have that built into the budget? Third one is emergency fund. And the last one is, do we have a plan to pass on the wealth? Okay. You know, for some people, leaving a legacy is a defining goal. Okay. I mean, they want to be the one that changed the family tree. Think about that. You know, my father passed away 7 years ago. My mother's still living. And no one prior to my father ever had anything. Matter of fact, he paid off both of my grandmother's houses for him. He went and made it. He changed the family tree. And then it got then one day it will pass on to me and my brother and my sisters. All right. And then it'll go to my kids and their kids and all that kind of stuff. Don't we want to have a plan for that to happen? Wouldn't it be awful to think that one generation makes it and the next one destroys it? And so if you don't have a plan after death, then guess what? You know, you're not going to change the family tree. And so let's take a look. Let's put some of the building blocks into action. The first thing, what's an optimal retirement withdrawal rate? All right. So I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, there's rules of thumb. I'll give you one example. If you take 20 times your income and withdraw 5%, you've always got 20 years of income set aside. A lot of times people will pull 5% because they go into some type of annuity that guarantees that. So that's some downside. You got another one that you can go in. You can say, well, I can adjust it every year and do 6% of the annual balance. So if the market goes up, then I get more. But the next year, if it goes down, I get less. I've always got 16 years set aside as a result of that. So you've got that kind of thing. You know, you've got the old school 4% in a stock and bond portfolio has never run out of money in 30 years, that kind of thing. And so we got all these different optimal withdrawal rates. But one of the things you got to keep in mind, and I like the, you know, if you have enough money, pull the 4% and increase it, you know, every year. So then we go in and we do a kind of an analysis and say, hey, if we have this many different, if we start on the bad times, I always like to show people, hey, let's pick out the bad times and see how you would have done. If the market goes good, you know, everybody's cool. But if it goes bad, you know what, how would you have come out? All right. So we do that kind of stuff. And then we start looking at where do we invest this money? And this is where I'm going to get into a lot of details, kind of talk about annuities and, you know, where do we go and when it comes to things like that. And so I'm going to give you kind of a spectrum. If you were sitting here and said, you know, an index fund, S&P 500 index fund, has averaged 10% over a long haul. And in getting that 10%, we know that about one out of 4 years, we're going to have the market go the wrong direction. It's going to lose money. And so you have to be willing to live with that. You're always invested. But at the end of the day, it averages about 10% and so on. So if we put in, if you had a piece of paper and you're sitting here listening to the show, you would put 10% across the top and you would say, okay, 10% is kind of the market. And then at that point, I have to live with some of the downsides. So do I want to, you know, do some things to avoid the downside? Do I want to buy insurance? What do I want to do? And so what we do then is we go in and we say, well, we could go and buy insurance, right? And we could go to the bank and we can put it into a CD or a money market or something like that. And you say, well, what does that do? Well, if you put it into a bank, you're buying insurance on your money. So if you go put 100 grand in and the market, they say, well, we're paying you 0.5% or something like that, you know, on a money market account or a CD, something in that range. For the sake of it, we'll say if you got 1%, then you're saying FDIC insurance to me on my money for principal and interest is worth paying 9% to get. Okay? So I'm willing to pay 9% based on if I had that 10% baseline of the market. I'm willing to pay 9% for that safety. I don't think that's a smart idea. I mean, now, I don't mind having a little bit of money in the bank for emergencies and stuff like that, but it's very costly insurance. But it is insurance, and that's what why people go to the bank. It's guaranteed, FDIC insured, da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Then you say to yourself, well, that's too expensive, all right? I'm going to buy something different. I'm going to go to an insurance company. Now, when I go to the insurance company, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to bet on the fact that the insurance company is going to be able to pay, stay in business, all right, and guarantee my principal and stuff like that. But because the insurance company is not as safe as the FDIC, the cost on it for the insurance is less because it's not as strong as insurance as it would be as the bank. And so you might go into what's called an indexed annuity. And an indexed annuity, you've heard of them, all right? Here's how a couple of things that go along with an indexed annuity. The money, you can defer taxes, okay? And if you don't pull it out, if it's in a non-qualified annuity, you can just defer the taxes if you're not pulling money on it for as long, you know, forever, all right? So you can do that. You can get what's called a lifetime income guarantee to where they say, here's what we'll do. We'll give you 6% for the rest of you and your spouse's life. And if the market if the account goes to zero, all right, we're still going to pay you the money. All right, there you go. So you got some income guarantees. You got tax deferral, that kind of deal. You've got principal guarantees in that if the market goes down, most of your indexed annuities give you zero return. All right. And you say, well, yeah, if the market's down, you know, 1 out of 4 years and I'm only getting 1% over here at the bank and I get zero the year that it's down and then I get a percentage of the upside, that's cool. It's tied to an index. And so people might take their very conservative money and say, rather than the bank, I'm going to move it over here to one of these indexed annuities. All right. So that's what an indexed annuity is. It has principal guarantee, lifetime income guarantees, and it's tax deferred. And so and it's backed up by the insurance company. So you want to get good insurance companies and stuff like that. All right. All right. So then we say, well, I want a better option than that. I don't need this money. All right. It's not a retirement money. I got money sitting in the bank right now. And realistically, I may never use that money. I don't want to pay taxes on it. So you might go into what I call a structured annuity or a buffered annuity. There's all these different names for it, but let me explain. Here's how it works. So the insurance company says, here's what we'll do. You put it in here for a period of time. Most of them are like 6 years. So you take the money, you have $100,000 and you put it in there and they give you these different insurance amounts that they're willing to do. So look, I'll give you an example. They say, well, here's what we'll do. We'll put it in the S&P 500 and we'll give you a 10% downside protection. So if we come back 6 years from now and you put $100,000 in and the S&P's down, the first 10% we will insure and make it up. So if you put $100,000 in and then the next thing you know, the market goes down to $90,000, they turn around and they put the 10 in, you're 6 years into it, you got your $100,000 back and you say, okay, but they have also some lifetime caps on it, 6 year caps. And they come up and they say, well, we'll if you do the 10%, we'll give you 200% return up to that. So if you put 100 in, you can make 300. All right. Or you can do a 20% downside protection and we're going to have less on the upside. And you can do a 25% and less on the upside. So it kind of puts guardrails on the money. And you can put it in there and you invest it. Most of the time when I tell people to do these type of accounts, it's non-qualified money, number one. More than likely money they're never going to use. Meaning that they've got other income sources, things like that. It's not designed as an income stream. And so we go in and do things like that. So third one is called a variable annuity. Now, the variable annuity is invested in the equivalent of what they call their mutual funds inside the annuity wrapper. All right. That annuity wrapper allows you to have professional money management just like you normally would in a mutual fund, but it also has tax-deferred growth. The expenses are going to be a little bit more, okay? Probably about, we're going to say a little bit. They're going to probably run 3%. So you're buying insurance, but at the same time, you might add a lifetime income guarantee to it. And the way the thing works is it's invested so you can get positive rates of return. I go toward that. I have a number of those accounts myself where I take money that I'm not going to use. I'm going to defer it, okay, the taxes on it, let it grow, and so on. And then I'm paying a cost of it. And you don't have to take the income guarantees, which run up your expenses. So if you put your money in there and you don't need the income, well, guess what? It lowers your cost, but it grows tax deferred. So I'm not having to pay taxes on it all the time, every year. And then lastly, I can go into just a regular mutual fund account. I have no guarantees, right? It's taxed, but I'm not paying the cost of the insurance. And typically you can run in, we talked about the index fund, you can get that managed in there for virtually nothing. And so it's just in the market, or you can do a professionally managed mutual fund or at around 1%, or you can turn around and put your money into managed accounts where you pay a flat fee, that kind of thing. So you've got all these different retirement plan choices that you can choose from. And then the question is, do we want to insure them or do we not want to insure? Do we want a portion of this stuff insured where we have some lifetime income on it, or do we not? You know, I hear a lot of these radio shows where they, you know, talk about having these guarantees. Well, keep in mind, guarantees always cost you money. All right. So remember that. So do you need guarantees on some things? Yeah, that's why we buy car insurance. In the event, you know, we have a wreck, we have a guarantee that we, you know, can pay. But the point of it is, anytime you buy insurance or guarantees, it always costs you money. Now, does it make sense to insure things? A portion of it, maybe? Sure. So when I sit down with people, first thing I do is we take a look and ask them, I say, do you want a portion of your income to have some guarantees on it? Here's how they would work if we did that. And so when we meet with people, we go through all this. And so if you're listening right now and you'd like help, visit roymatlockjr.com and download some of our resources, listen to the podcast, and call our office, 615-843-2999. Stick with us. Next week, we'll be back with more good information. My name's Roy Matlock Jr. We'll talk to you later.